The World Cup Daily Podcast from William Hill.
Sensacional! Fantástico! Espetacular o gol do Neymar!
All the latest betting news and tips from our team of experts in Brazil and the UK. Check out all of our audio at williamhill.com/podcast. Subscribe via iTunes or browse our channel on audioboo.fm. William Hill, the home of World Cup betting.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Daily World Cup Podcast. It's day six from Rio and we see the first matches from Group H, with Belgium taking on Algeria in the early game and Russia playing South Korea in the late game, with a Group A match sandwiched in between, that is Brazil versus Mexico. And we'll also be having a look back to all of the games from yesterday. My name's Sam Norris and I'll be joined on the podcast today by Ben Bramley. How are you today, Ben?
Hi, Sam. Yeah, I'm in good shape, thank you. I enjoyed the matches last night. Well, I enjoyed
two of the
matches yes. last night. But of course, we had our first aberration, I think you might say, of the World Cup with the Iran versus Nigeria game. Did you catch any of that?
Absolutely, yeah. I watched the first half and a little bit of the second half. Could have been a lot of other things I wished I was doing. I almost said we were treated to our first draw of the tournament. It certainly wasn't a treat. What did you make of that game?
Well, I did the same as you, really. I watched the first 45 minutes. I gave it 10 minutes into the second half and I thought, this isn't getting much better. And it was purgatory, really. I think Nigeria are such a limited side. They're so careless with the ball, aren't they? And Iran clearly didn't have a great deal of ambition there. There was the Gounachijad header in the first half that was well saved by Enyema, wasn't there? But apart from that, I think both teams were really disappointing. And you've got to say that Bosnia will be licking their lips in anticipation of playing both of those two, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I personally can't really see either of these two getting another point. I think who finishes bottom in this group will depend on who Argentina and Bosnia batter less, probably. I mean, either of these two definitely finish bottom for you?
Yeah, I mean, it looks absolutely stick on, doesn't it? I might be inclined to go with Nigeria, you know, because obviously there was some disputes prior to the tournament. They haven't started brilliantly. You know, that's a disappointing result, whichever way you dress it up. You could say, arguably, because Bosnia lost their first game, that at least they've got a point more than the Bosnians, but they've both still got Argentina to play, and that's the key question, isn't it? I think both should have been more positive in that game. We did see Bosnia cause Argentina threats on Sunday night. So, yeah, I tend to agree that Bosnia look nailed on for the runners-up slot now, and I would make Nigeria bottom of the group my bet if I was wagering at this point.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. And that Iranian defence was very tight in qualifying, probably slightly better than the Nigerian defence. So I can certainly see them conceding less against the big two sides.
Well, it's well trained. I mean, they must be paying Carlos Queiroz an absolute fortune to manage their team. So you're expecting the Iranians to be well drilled, and they were, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, clearly, they didn't show a great deal of ambition, but to get a point in the first instance is a credit to them in the tournament. And let's see, it's not impossible that they beat Bosnia, but based on last night's showing, it would be surprising, wouldn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. And I thought that they'll be relatively happy with that. I know a lot of people had them to finish the group on 0 points, but let's move away from that game, because there's one that I don't really want to talk about very much. The first game of yesterday, Germany-Portugal, didn't quite deliver us the close contest we were maybe looking for. I know a lot of people on the both teams to score, a lot of people on the on the Germany score win, but it was a pretty scintillating performance from the Germans, wasn't it?
It was, of course. The sending off was, I'm not going to say critical, I'm going to say pivotal in the first half, with Pepe there ill-advised going in with the head. Just foolish, really. Ronaldo had his normal quota of shots. I think he had 7 in the game. I think there is a bet that's worth looking at here. We're still betting on the top goal scorer from the respective teams. And for Portugal, there's a chap called Eder, who came on when Almeida was replaced early on with an injury. Eder had a decent season with Braga back end of the year, having been injured for a vast portion of it. Given that they've only got 2 games left, this is a guy that's double figures, that there's a good chance that he could start as the number 9 effectively in the next game. Now, we know that Ronaldo's by far the likeliest winner in that particular market, but if I was taking anything out of Portugal's performance, it would be that he's got a chance of being their top scorer, or at least chasing Ronaldo home in that particular market. It's the eternal problem with Portugal, isn't it? Going back a number of years, Sam, they used to have a chap called Pauleta that led the line in the early 2000s. And they had some wonderful players like Rui Costa and Figo, but they never had a really banger number 9, you know? And it's still the case now. Ronaldo and a lot of pretty quality midfield players, but they haven't got a kiddie to put the ball in the back of the net. But I think Adair might be a useful bet. Clearly, the Germans are going to go on now And they've really made a stand on this tournament, haven't they? And they're right in the mix now, just behind Brazil and Argentina in the betting.
Yeah, absolutely. And someone else who's gone to the top of his respective market is Thomas Muller. Obviously, got that hat trick yesterday, clipped into 11-4 now for the tournament top goal scorer. Do you see it being Muller? Because they tend to spread the goals out a bit more, Germany, than some of these other sides.
They do. I mean, the way that this tournament is going this year, Sam, you would think that traditionally the number five, maybe six, which is a winning score, you might just need seven this year. Yeah. I mean, if we look at Neymar was chopped in from 10-1 into 3-1 on the very first night on the back of getting a brace, wasn't he? But Neymar, you know, we're going to look at that game against Mexico shortly, you wouldn't want to be backing against him scoring tonight and going back to the top of the charts. And I tend to agree with you that Muller, you've got Goetze, you've got Schürrle to come in, you've got Ozil as well. You've got any number of players that could share the goals out in that German lineup. And some of the other teams, I'm thinking specifically of Brazil, it's likely to be Neymar that cans the goals, isn't it? What is the latest betting on the Golden Boot? Can you dig that out? Because so many of the good players have come to the party. Arguably, you'd say that only Ronaldo hasn't scored of the key players. Neymar, Messi, Benzema was on the sheet. We've got Lukaku tonight. See if he can join in the fun. It's the kind of market that you tend to get involved in pre-tournament.
Yeah.
And then it disintegrates.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But it's still really competitive and interesting.
Still looks very shook at the moment. Thomas Muller, as I say, leads the betting 11-4, obviously, after that hat-trick. Neymar 9-2, Messi 5-1, Benzema 7-1, Van Persie 7-1, Ian Robin 16-1, 20-1 bar. It still looks very competitive. You've got Lukaku out there at 20s, Aguero out there at 20s. He looks quite big.
There's some big guns there, isn't there? What are the place terms on that, Sam? Does it say what the place terms are now? They may have changed from a quarter, 1, 2, 3, 4, from what they were.
Quarter of the odds, 1, 2, 3, 4 still, yeah.
See, I think there's a decent bet in there. I would say Neymar is what's known as a bet to nothing in this market. 9-2, so you're getting 9-8 for the place. I think he'll score against Mexico tonight, and I can't see him getting less than 4 goals in this tournament, which will effectively get him a place for sure, won't it?
I'd agree with you there.
I think it's a fair little bet. If you think he was 3-1 after the first night, it is fair. But of course, you've got those good players congregating. Van Persie, you did mention Robin as well, who looked electric.
He did
in that first game. So it's a great market. As I say, it's the kind of market that normally goes down and it doesn't become a great in-play tournament medium, but it certainly is this time.
Still going, yeah, absolutely. And that does look a good little shout there. Neymar each way 9-2 for the top goal scorer. We'll move on to the last game of yesterday. And I know this was your bet of the day and one of your bets of the round. So if our listeners are following you in today, they should be in safe hands. USA beating Ghana 2-1 last night.
Yeah, the intriguing thing for me about this game was you saw all the jollification with the Ghanaians when they got off the bus.
It was
like a carnival, wasn't it? Now, the way I'd look at that, Sam, is if that's the way to prepare for a football match, then some coach in the last 150 years would have actually done that. Now, would it be unfair of me to say that their focus might not have been 100% when Dempsey was waltzing through the defence and they weren't ready to pick up the thread in the first 30 seconds? I'm not sure. They were found out for concentration there early on in that game, and then obviously it's very difficult for them to get back into it. I thought Atsu had a good game. I don't know if you saw the game yourself, but they had some individual performances, didn't they?
And I'd agree. Atsu did impress me. I think if he could tighten up on his crossing a little bit, I think he could be a serious player. There were a couple of overhit balls there from Atsu.
But I would have a huge concern about the USA left-back area, because there was a huge gap between the left-sided centre-back and the left-back, who was often caught marauding up the field. Good teams are going to thread in behind that area and they're going to get punished absolutely. So while the commentators were saying that USA were very well organised, yes, they were when they were getting two banks of four behind the ball, but when they broke forward, they were really disorganised on cover. And I think the other teams, Germany and Portugal, will both score goals against them, particularly attacking the Portuguese left-back area. Sorry, the USA left-back area.
Yeah, it's certainly looking very difficult. Well, it looked difficult on paper from the start of the tournament for USA and Ghana to qualify. Do you think that's it for Ghana now, really? I mean, they both the teams had to win that game to have any chance, really, didn't they?
Yeah, Ghana, good night, nurse, definitely. Germany will beat them.
Yeah,
I would think Portugal will beat them as well. But USA have given themselves a chance in a one-off game against Portugal, whose star player, you know, if you take him out, they're not an outstanding outfit by any means.
No.
We've already highlighted Ronaldo had 7 shots last night. If he doesn't do it, it's questionable whether Portugal will do it. So USA have got a sniff. Altidore was a bit of a loss for them. I think the BBC commentators made some great notes there that they do miss his channel running because Johansson isn't that kind of player.
It's more of a off-the-ball kind of player, Jose Altidore. I mean, I know his scoring is sometimes criticised, but I agree with you. I think he's very important for the States.
Yeah, and if you think he does create that space for Clint Dempsey, whereas Aaron Johansson is more a pure goal scorer and perhaps doesn't provide that threat in behind. So I think that'll be more of a loss to the USA than many Sunderland fans would believe and many other people would believe pre-tournament. But he's a different animal in a US shirt, so a bit of a miss there for them. But that game's going to be critical, isn't it? The USA versus Portugal game is going to be the who qualifies from that group match, isn't it? To all intents and purposes.
Absolutely, yeah. So it looks like a little bit more to come out of that group. We'll move on then to Tuesday's action from the World Cup. As I say, Group H is starting. The first game of the night at 5 o'clock is Belgium versus Algeria. And let's see what Robbie Savage has to think of it out in Brazil.
Yeah, Belgium will win 2-0. I think in most games so far we've seen over 2.5 goals. Can it be a 3-0 to Belgium? I really like that. Algeria, I don't think they'll score a goal again this competition. So I'm going to go with 3-0 to Belgium.
Hotly fancied then by Robbie Savage. And I'm sick of calling Belgium dark horses because, I mean, they're not really. Everybody talks about Belgium. Loads of people are with them. 22-1 outright. You're not with Belgium, I am. I'm right in thinking.
I'm anti-Belgique. Absolutely. For some time now, when they qualified, they were 14-1 fifth favourites back in October time. And I thought that was a ridiculously short price. On paper, they've got an absolutely superb team, haven't they? You can go through 1-11. They've got one of the best goalkeepers in the world. They've got one of the best centre-backs in the world. So they've got Courtois and company, keeper and centre-back. Some of the best attacking midfield players. Eden Hazard, Kevin De Bruyne's a good player. But I'm not absolutely convinced about this Belgian side at all. For a start off, they don't have any fullbacks of any note. Jan Vertonghen and Toby Alderweireld aren't really fullbacks in the true sense. They're both reluctant fullbacks in many respects. And this Algerian team, you know, are a very much changed outfit from what we saw in 2010. You can probably recollect the game against England.
They held England, yeah. I'd even say that was worse than Iran-Nigeria, that game. One of the worst games I've ever seen. But they did a really good job holding England, who have a lot more tournament pedigree than Belgium, it's fair to say.
I think you're absolutely right there. And there's a fascinating article by Michael Cox in the Racing Post today on page 120. And he's actually backed Algeria to win at any price you like. And when you read his article, you can kind of see why. He says, you know, 4 years on, they're a lot more adventurous as a side. They play a 4-3-3 system, an aggressive midfield and a high defensive line. And they've got some pretty good players. They've got Bentaleb, who played for Spurs last year, Tadier from Inter Milan, Brahimi, who had a good back end of the year from Granada, and Sofian Feghouli, who's a good attacking midfield player for Valencia. So they've got some pretty good units in the team. I think it's very easy to be dismissive of teams based on what we saw at the last World Cup, and you make instant judgments that Algeria are rubbish. I think we're going to see a different animal in this tournament. I think that they will score, and I'm edging towards a bit of an upset here, Sam. Can you dissuade me from that?
Well, certainly in the market, Belgium aren't the most attractive of prices at 1-3. Draw 4-1 and 8-1 about Algeria. They are looking pretty big. If you're just backing Algeria for a goal, you can take both teams to score at 19-20, which, as you say, if you think they're going to attack down the flanks, if you think Belgium are weak as the fullbacks, 19-20 is not a terrible price for both teams to score.
It's decent. You look at the goal scoring rates of some of these Algerian players, and I know it's difficult to measure because clearly their qualifying segment isn't the same as the Belgian qualifying segment who are coming up against Croatia, Serbia, Scotland even, you know. But I think Slimani, 10 goals in 20 internationally. Sudani, 11 goals in 22. I think there's a price that's massively overpriced here, and that's the draw at 4-1. I think that's a big old price, you know. You know, Belgium here, Romelu Lukaku has been scoring goals, hasn't he? There was a slight injury doubt over him as well. And they do have goals in the team, but I'm really keen not to underestimate this Algerian team. I think they're going to have a bit of a part to play. And apart from Ivory Coast, I can see them being the second most effective African team in this tournament. So I'm going to play the draw here, Sam.
The draw then is pretty big at 4-1. If I get the tie down for a correct draw score, we've got even bigger prices on them. 0-0 is 14-1. 1-1 is 9-1 if you fancy them to get a goal. 2-2 at 20-1.
Yeah, I'm going that way. I'm going for the 1-1 draw at 9-1. I mean, what sort of time do you see a draw 1-1 at those sort of prices, 9-1? I think this game has almost been priced up like Belgium are playing a Qatar or a Lebanon or something like that, yeah. You know? Algeria are no mugs in their own right. FIFA World Rankings, I know we don't put too much credence into these, but do you know what they are for the respective teams?
I have no idea, where are they?
Belgium 11, Algeria 22. So there's not a chasm between them on that, is there? And I know we saw England at number 3 or 4 for goodness knows how many years, so they're misguided. But I think Algeria are going to surprise a few people in this tournament. Starting tonight, the bookmakers need a few results because they're getting smashed at every corner. And I think they've got a decent side running for them. Algeria, draw, 4-1, 1-1 draw, 9-1. That's where we're going, Sam.
There you go, then a couple of big prices for Ben, and I don't think any of our listeners were expecting you to say that. The next game of the night is Brazil versus Mexico. Brazil 1-3, 4-1 the draw, Mexico 8-1, and let's hear from Robbie on this one.
You watched Mexico versus Cameroon, you were impressed by Mexico, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. I thought the movement and the link-up play between Dos Santos and Peralta was very, very good. Marquez marched to the back five very, very well, so I think we could see a bit of a high-scoring game. I think Brazil defensively there to be got at, but in attacking options, Oscar, Neymar were fantastic. So I think both teams to score in a Brazil 2-1 win. But Brazil can be got at. They need to tighten up that defence if they're going to win this competition. I don't think they will. I think Argentina still, but I'd go with a 2-1 win Brazil.
Both teams to score and Brazil to win there for Robbie. And obviously Brazil won their first game 3-1. But it's interesting, if you type in the words Croatia and robbed on Twitter, you get hundreds and hundreds of results. Did you think Croatia were unlucky, or do you think Brazil were good value for that win?
I think Twitter is absolutely right there, you know. It wasn't so much the penalty for me, because I thought that the defender there, it was Lovren, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Gave Fred a chance to go down by putting his arm on his left shoulder, and he uptook the invitation. I said in a previous podcast, there's a lot of pressure on Brazil to advance in this tournament, given the unrest. And you could kind of see a penalty being given. I thought the worst decision was where a header at the back post, the keeper was clearly beaten with no arms up, and it was stuck in from around about the six-yard area, was an even worse decision, because clearly there was no foul whatsoever there. Croatia did look good in patches, and Brazil, a couple of times in the first 10 minutes before they even scored, where Olic got in behind and squared a ball. So the warning sign was there. Did you catch the whole first game?
No, I didn't see this game. I was flying at the time. But I've seen the goals and the penalties since. And I watched a little bit of highlights. I don't think Brazil were anywhere like as good as they were when I saw them last in the Confederations Cup against Spain, where they were just fantastic. Yeah, I thought it was a very, very different look to that Brazil team.
Well, I took a view, having watched that game, of the Brazilian starting 11, I thought there was two that played well. One was Oscar, who was man of the match, whipped in some tremendous balls, and he was right at the heart of everything, which is contrary to what he was doing the back end of last season for Chelsea, where he was largely ineffective. And more of an unsung player, Luis Gustavo, the Wolfsburg player, who was far, far more effective than Paulinho there as one of the two sitting midfielders. Fred was diabolical. I think he only had 8 touches in the entire game, if I've seen the stats correctly. But of course, we talked right at the start of this podcast about the Golden Boot and Neymar being 9-2. 33 goals in 50 internationals. That's a killer strike rate, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not bad. And he's subject to two of our headline offers today. Neymar to score any time and Brazil win at 6-5. And Neymar to score first and Brazil to win at 4-1. That 4-1 looks quite big.
It looks decent, doesn't it? I just have a slight reservation about that, you know. What price is he first goal scorer just without the Brazil win? I think we're in for entertaining fare here, Sam. I think these Mexicans, if you watch the first game against Cameroon, they had a couple of goals unjustly ruled out in the first half. Peralta and Dos Santos linked up really well, which have made Javier Hernandez an impact player, so fulfilling the same role as he does for Manchester United nowadays. But Peralta, that's a good strike rate internationally, isn't it? 17 in 31. I thought we saw enough of this Brazilian defence and the Mexican attack to say that they can definitely be breached. I would go for a more fanciful correct score here, Sam. I'm going for something a little bit fruity. Brazil 3-2 would be my kind of angle in this game. I think Mexico will definitely get on the sheet. I think Brazil have to step up their attacking play. If Hulk plays, he's got to raise his game because he was largely anonymous, apart from his usual assortment of wayward strikes. The defence have got to be a bit sharper. David Luiz has got to be sharper. He made a mistake for the first goal.
Yeah.
They've just got to be better. Otherwise, the Mexicans will score. But they've got threats going forward. So 3-2 Brazil is my kind of angle on this one.
That comes home at 25-1. And that Neymar just to score first, you touched on, is 11-4. Yeah, that 25-1 does look very good. If you were to pick out a Mexico bet, we've got Giovanni Dos Santos to score and Mexico to win at 16-1. But you'd be more of a fan of Peralta, would you?
I think Peralta, yeah. I mean, he's more prolific internationally. If you look at the respective strike rates there, Peralta's had a great season domestically and he's 17 in 31 internationally. And Dos Santos is a great link player. They do work well together, but 14 in 77. You know, if you look at that statistically, you could only really be with Peralta in that particular market, couldn't you? So I'd be looking at Peralta perhaps any time in this game, which I think would be a reasonable proposition. What kind of price we're looking at? About 9-4, 5-2?
He's 14-5 Peralta.
14-5, yeah. 2.8-1. I quite like that. I think Mexico will get on the sheet, and I think he's the guy to do it. So yeah. I'm going to go for something even more fanciful. If you can get your magic fingers moving on this, it's going to be Peralta for the first goal, but Brazil to win by 3-2. So I'm expecting you to give me something juicy here in the three-figure field I'm hoping for on this one.
Yes, right by Peralta to score and Brazil to win 3-2 comes home in a massive 340-1. That's for Peralta to score first or last. And that's just in our score/wincast market. Click the drop-down menu there and select your player and you get all the results on the left-hand side. 340-1, that is a massive shout, Ben.
See, I like this because if you think how Brazil were vulnerable in that first 15 minutes, as we've said, the signs were there before the Marcelo own goal, and you can't see Brazil not getting back into a game if they concede. I think it's a really sporting bet. It's Mexico's main striker. You expect Brazil to win the game, so a little jolt early. Brazil have got goals in them. I think Mexico have got a couple in them, so I think that's a really sporting bet. 3-2 is the correct score for Brazil, but 3-2 and Peralta first goal, 340-1. Let's give that one a spin.
Plenty to go at then for the listeners there. 3-2 at 25-1 and Peralta score first and Brazil to win 3-2 at a massive 340-1. One of those worth a quid bets, that is. And the final game of the evening at 11 o'clock is the other Group H contest. The last two teams making their entrance to the World Cup, Russia and South Korea. And let's hear from Robbie Savage.
I think it'll be a cagey game. I think it'll be low on the goals. But you've got to say Capello with his Russian side. Not the greatest Russian side I've seen, but you know, in big tournaments, these, you know, the Italys, the Russias, the Germanys, they know how to win games, and I think Russia, you know, will win this game, and I think they'll win the game to nil, but low on their goals. I'll go 1-0 Russia.
1-0 Russia then is the pick for Robbie, and Russia are one of those teams that I've got covered in one of my various sweepstakes with various people, so tell me it's going to be good news for the Russians, Ben.
Well, I got Australia in a similar sweep and I can that straight in the bin, and if I'd have picked Russia I'd have done something very similar, unfortunately, Sam. What are your grounds for optimism? Are you clinging on to anything yourself?
No, not particularly. I'd be delighted if they got out the group and maybe gave me a small run for my money, but no, I can't particularly see them going very far, and I think they could struggle tonight. I mean, they're 5-6 in the market with South Korea at 7-2. I'm not entirely convinced by an odds on price about Russia, are you?
No, I wouldn't be, and they've been heavily backed. I know that they were 6-5 when the betting opened for this game. I think a lot of the favourites, by virtue of the fact that they've all been winning, are now proving very popular with punters, and they're rolling up their cash. I think they're very short now at this point. I would have reservations. South Korea do move the ball extremely quickly, and you would say that the Russians have got an ageing back line. If you look at Ignashnevich and Berezutsky, they're 31 and 34. There isn't a lot of pace in that back line, you know. If you think about how this Korean side might be able to pop it about, you've got Park Chu-young there leading the line. You've got Kujachiol, who's a useful player, good international strike rate as well, 12 in 37. I think the movement of these South Koreans will cause this ageing Russian back line a few problems. So the way that I would be playing this game is, again, taking on this short favourite in the shape of Russia, and I'd be quite keen to have South Korea on my side here with a plus one, or perhaps even an outright here to win the game.
Yeah, so say 72 there on the outright, so just get up the handicap markets.
There's another one, just while you're looking at those as well. I'm pondering a first goal scorer, but have you found the
market? Yeah. They're 10 to 11 South Korea plus a goal, so they just drop into odds on there. But if you were going to go safer, that would certainly be the play over the 7-2 outright.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. Also looking at Ku Jia Chiol as the first goal scorer or any time goal scorer in this race. He's the guy that plays behind Park Chu Young. Let's have a look. 12-37, as we've already highlighted here. I think they've got a chance of sparking something up. I suppose the worry for South Korea, if you look very literally at the collateral four lines, they were walloped by Ghana, weren't they, last week, 4-0, which isn't a great scoreline, and they were beaten by Tunisia as well, another friendly. So they need to revert to that form that they showed against Greece when beating them 2-0 to get the result here. But the Russia themselves, you may recall Euro 2012, and they had Kurzakov leading the line, and he was terrible. He was fancied by many as being the top scorer in that tournament, but did nothing. It's likely that Kokorin will come in to replace him up top this evening. Roman Shirakov, who's their influential captain, has been ruled out of the tournament. And I think a lot of things for Russia revolve around when they host the tournament in 2018. So they're another team that I'm anxious to oppose against decent enough opposition, who I think who have been underestimated with the market shift. And I'd be keen to be with South Korea plus one at 10 to 11 or on the outright win. And Ku Jia Chiol, first goal scorer, 11 to 1 would be my kind of angle here.
Yeah, Ku Jia Chiol, he's even bigger than that, actually, Ben. He's 12 to 1.
Oh, he's drifted, has he?
Yeah,
in any time, fives?
He's come in for any time, actually, which is weird. Yeah, he's into fours at any time and 12's first or last goal scorer. But yeah, he could certainly be a player there, I think.
Yeah, that's the game here, I think. I'm going to take the South Koreans in this particular game.
Fair enough, then. The South Koreans for Ben. If you could just spin us through all your predictions for Tuesday and maybe tie us down one best bet in each of the games.
Oh, you're pushing me now, aren't you? Go back to the first game of the day, where I'm anxious to be against the Belgians here. Really keen on a draw in this game at 4-1. I think that's a huge price. I think it's got more than a 20% chance of occurring, which is what 4-1 represents, and I make that a decent value bet. In truth, I'm expecting goals in the game between Brazil and Mexico. Peralta, first goal scorer, and any time. 3-2 Brazil was the fanciful scorecast selection at 340-1, but 3-2 as the correct score would be the recommendation there. And in the final game, Russia against South Korea. South Korea plus one. It's a more cautious price at 10 to 11, but I think Russia have been overestimated with the market shift, so I'll go with that. But banker bet is going to be Belgium versus Algeria. Put an X on your card. 4-1, bet of the day.
There we go then, 4-1, bet of the day for Ben on all of Tuesday's action. Remember, you can hear it all on William Hill's In Play Radio. Nick Walsh, Ollie Pimlott and Simon Barlow with you through till 8 o'clock, and then Richard Shawright, Tom Kerwin and Gav Puchalowski with you for the evening games, and they'll be sticking around right to the conclusion of Russia and South Korea. In the meantime, thanks very much for joining me today on the podcast, Ben, and I hope you enjoyed today's action.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks a lot, Sam.
Cheers.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.